Transition Institute at Robert Gordon University in Aberdeen, Paul Dalloo. Paul, thank you very much for being with us.
Good afternoon.
Did you hear what Michael Shank said there, that this isn't a reflection on the future of the industry? Do you agree with him?
Yeah, I think there's the element of this probably right. I mean, this is a leading service provider in the sector. It operates in over 25 countries and employs over 7,000 people worldwide, 2,000 are in the UK. And they got themselves into some real financial difficulties. Remember, this is a company. It used to be a Fujima Holt company only a few years ago. It's a super fall from grace here. But it's all about legacy issues, legacy contracts, legacy bribery cases, mounting debt, and a lot of shareholder issues. So the parent company indeed going into administration today, but the actually fundamental underlying business and some of the subsidiary companies are doing actually absolutely fine work here, particularly in the North Sea. They're doing real work for real businesses, material projects, real contracts. So I expect this is going to be more a restructuring issue, other people coming in and buying parts of the business. So I think it's more kind of a change of employer, a change of coverall, than it is actually we see these jobs disappearing at scale.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. 2,000 jobs in the UK, most of them in Scotland. What do you think will happen to them?
So if you look at what's happening, I mean, these contracts are valuable and they are making money. So I expect that the administrator will come in. They will certainly keep it running as a current business. They're serving clients. They're doing a really good job. These are highly skilled jobs. It's in demand workforce. So expect either other players come in and buy part of the business, or it's going to be rebranded or kind of restructured. The jobs need to be done. They are the people who can do it. It's a matter of who the employer is. And so I expect most of these jobs over time will be protected.
And in terms of Petrofac as a company, how instrumental are they in North Sea oil and gas production?
Oh, they're really key. They're a key service provider. They bring very deep skills in design, commissioning, operating assets. They're active in oil and gas, they're active in renewables, they're active in decommissioning. They are a big tier one and leading service company in the industry. So this is a big loss to see them go. But again, I expect the skills will be retained. I expect all the new ownership, and hopefully a lot of jobs will be retained as well.
But that will certainly be the hope, because 2,000 job losses would be pretty devastating.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's on top of all the other, of course, the challenges the industry have, particularly around the difficulty of attracting new investment, a rapid decline in the industry. This is not welcome news, but hopefully there's a way out of this particular case. This is a Petrofac issue, a Petrofac-specific issue. I don't think there's a read-through to the wider sector, but this is for the administrators to go in and saying is, how can we make sure that the UK part of the business, which is a subsidiary company, we can retain as many of the capabilities, as many of the skills, and as many of the jobs?
So recognising that Petrofac is a situation in itself, let's talk a little bit about the wider industry. Do you think seeing the difficulties that some companies are getting into will add any pressure to the UK government in terms of looking at North Sea oil licences?
Yeah, I think the message is very clear. The North Sea, in the current way the structures, is very hard for investors to invest. There are other places around the world where investment is far better, far more attractive, and we're already seeing a lot of companies moving out. And it's going to be critical, because the workforce we have in the oil and gas industry, the supply chain we have in the oil and gas industry, is going to be fundamental to accelerate the renewables agenda. That's the workforce, the energy workforce, which will deliver the next generation of wind activity, offshore wind activity. The supply chain is there. We have all the ingredients in place. But if we lose to the oil and gas industry and the jobs are not yet ready in the renewables industry, we'll have a gap. And that gap will be a real tricky one to manage. And if the workforce disappears, supply chain disappears, we will set back our renewables agenda for quite a few years. So the government absolutely needs to make sure to manage it wisely.
Paul, if there was something that you could say to the government, this is what you need to do to make sure we don't lose these skilled workers who are going to be the workforce of the future, but let's face it, they need to work in the next 10 years as well. What would you do?
Very, very, very clear. There's a Goldilocks zone. I would retain as many of the oil and gas workforce by continuing activity for the next so many years until the renewables industry is ready at scale. We have the supply chain, we have the workforce, we have everything in place. But what we see, one industry is declining faster, the other one is growing. So good policy, make the North Sea investable again.
What about windfall tax?
Windfall tax has its place. There is no windfall to tax anymore. And if you look around other countries at this point in time, By the end of the year, the UK will be the only country in this part of the world still with a windfall, while there is no windfall tax. In my mind, that needs to be revised because we need to make this an investable oil and gas province and renewables province that we attract investors for the long term with the confidence to sustain the workforce and the supply chain.
Okay, Paul De Luc, good to get your thoughts.